Hi, folks. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole, talking to Al Weinrub. It's not a household name in this country, but he's very well known in the National Energy Democracy Movement, which is dedicated to stopping global warming through local energy. And to do that, to stop global roasting, today nobody in this country has come close to what's happened to California to reconstruct the energy system, as well, of course, as transport and housing and offices, agriculture, and the rest. California is where Al Weinrub has tirelessly worked for the last dozen years in that energy democracy movement. He's now coordinator of the Local Clean Energy Alliance. He also coordinates a statewide California Alliance for Community Energy. He's an activist. He works with others. He builds the movements. He also writes and agitates. He co-edited the recent book, Energy Democracy, and also wrote Community Power, Decentralized Renewable Energy in California, which is available at the website of the Local Clean Energy Alliance. And he's written innumerable articles and op-eds and with lawyers, briefs for court cases and public utility commissioners and legislatures. Here's what a few notables said about Community Power, his short book. Here's Bill McKibben. One of the great side effects of moving to renewable power is that we will replace vulnerable, brittle, centralized systems that are too big to fail with spread out democratic energy sources small enough to be resilient. So, Al Weinrub, welcome to Cable. Power to the people.
Thank you very much, Phil. Nice to be here.
Al Weinrub, for me, what we call civilization is to survive. If slow and accelerating global roasting is to be stopped, and soon, say the climate scientists, it must be with community energy in the lead. So, to begin, tell us about the development of community energy in California, how it got started, why cities and counties took over electricity supply in their areas. How it is that in California, half of electricity customers are served by public agencies. So first, Al, the state of community energy in California, how and why it got started, its victories, its potentials.
Well, that's a tall order of things to talk about, Bill. What I'm going to do is try to talk about community energy just a little bit in theory or in general, and then talk about the actual institutions that grew out of that movement. So I think some of the quotes about my first book are appropriate when it talks about a decentralized energy system. I mean, when we're trying to deal with the ecosystem and the planet, it's not just about reducing carbon. We have to lead our lives in a way, you know, that's in harmony with the environment in every way. So the first thing when we're talking about a new energy paradigm has to be that it's, you know, in tune with the natural processes of the world, which means that unlimited growth just is not going to cut it. And one of the things that's enabled the notion of community energy, by which I mean community ownership and control of energy resources. Now, that can take many forms, but the idea is that the ownership of energy resources and how they're built, what they look like, needs to be community-based in order to really have a sustainable kind of energy system. The centralized energy system that we have now, where very large corporate entities control energy for the purpose of realizing profit and capital accumulation, that is an unlimited growth scenario that does not really meet the needs of our population. It's very extractive and exploitive, and it doesn't meet the needs of the planet to survive. So the notion of community energy, where we control those energy resources, is really predicated upon renewable energy technologies, which actually exist everywhere and can be harnessed everywhere and can be harnessed in such a way as to best meet local needs for sustainability and for equity, for economic development, and all those things that come from the development of local energy resources. The development of centralized energy resources mainly benefit Wall Street and large capital interests. So the notion of community energy really is that it is the kind of energy system, the kind of energy model that's based on renewable, decentralized energy ownership and control. So how did this really get started in California is another question that's very much apart from that sort of notion that I just put forward. What happened in California in around the turn of the century with the big Enron energy meltdown that happened in California after deregulation of the energy system, where Wall Street and the big energy brokers in the country in cahoots with the monopoly utilities in California just totally upended the energy system, actually brownouts and, you know, gaming huge increases in energy prices. And there was a reaction to that, which included both the bailout of the monopoly utilities, but a lot of antagonism to it. And out of that, you know, Paul Finn, who is one of the leaders in the notion of community choice energy, which is what the bill passed in 2002 was called, Community Choice Energy Bill, basically allowed for communities to be able to take over the procurement of their own energy supplies, you know, while the utilities still own the distribution systems and whatnot, but the actual decisions about energy and energy resources could be made by communities. And a community choice energy bill was passed then in 2002, which essentially allowed, you know, a city or a group of cities or a county or some jurisdictions to get together and say, okay, we are going to be in the driver's seat of deciding what energy resources we're going to use. So the push for a more decentralized energy or community-based energy system came out of the abuses of the big centralized energy system, and largely on the basis of wanting cheaper energy, of course, with the Enron meltdown. That was a huge demand. But also, this is the time when people started talking about renewable energy. So it was cheaper, cleaner energy became the driving force. And that was around 2002 when the bill was passed. The first actual community choice energy agency didn't get established until 2010, a good 8 years later. And this is because, of course, the utilities were totally opposed to having their prerogative to have a vertical monopoly. You know, that was something very antagonistic in their minds, and so they fought it. Yeah, they fought it in 2010 with a state ballot initiative, which was meant to essentially kill the bill by doing a constitutional amendment that required a two-thirds vote of any community to move to a community choice energy agency. And they went down in defeat, but mostly they shot themselves in their own foot, because such a constitutional amendment was offensive in very, very many ways. But still, community choice had a hard time moving forward because it was being fought in many other ways. In fact, in 2014, they launched a legislative effort to kill community choice. And I won't go into the details, but that legislative effort was supported by the monopoly utilities and the California Federation of Labor. And that looked like it was going to be curtains for community energy, at least in the form of community choice. But what happened is we got together, we formed a coalition of over 200 organizations all across the state. We're opposed to that measure through our activism and our agitation, and who for the first time learned what community choice was really all about. And based on that fight in 2014, well, that fight actually lost every battle at the legislature, you know, every committee, you know, it went sailing through the legislature until it got to the Senate. And on the Senate floor, we had created so much heat, so much storm, so much commotion that no senator wanted to introduce it on the bill, though it certainly would have passed. So it never came up for a vote. And that was a huge victory. And after that victory, you saw community choice agencies forming all around the state. The first one was in Marin originally, but then in Sonoma, in San Francisco, in the East Bay, down in the whole Bay Area, and then eventually all the way into Southern California. So that now we have almost 23 community choice agencies, which are all public agencies. Some are joint powers authorities between different cities. Some are single city agencies. But the whole idea there is that a public agency decides what energy is going to be procured on behalf of the jurisdiction and the terms of that procurement. So, and largely, we think of this as happening in two waves. The first one was mostly communities wanting cheaper and greener energy. Over time, that has changed. Cheaper, greener energy, you can still get through a centralized energy model. In other words, you procure energy from large solar farms and wind plantations that are remote from the community. It's cheaper and it's greener. But it really doesn't, it's really not captured by the notion of community energy, which, as I described before, was, a real decentralized ownership and control. And what that means, in fact, is the development of new kinds of energy resources, local energy resources, these being like local solar, energy efficiency, reduced energy demand. These are all resources that are valuable to the community in managing their energy supply. We see now, more recently, energy solar plus battery storage. We see demand, controls for sharing and leveling energy loads. There's a lot of technologies and a lot of resources that can be used to create an optimized energy system that can really meet the needs of the community. I think I want to stop there, but just to get the idea that there is, this notion, this vision of community energy, where the community really makes decisions about the energy sources. And then there's the actuality of these community choice agencies, which are procuring energy, some still using a centralized energy model, but many moving toward using much more distributed energy resources, meaning renewable energy resources of the types that are under development now.
This is Cable Radio, Bill Resnick, for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I've talked to Al Weinreb, who coordinates the Local Clean Energy Alliance of the Bay Area. He also coordinates the statewide California Alliance for Community Energy. And we've been talking so far about the growth of community energy in California. My understanding, Al, is that over half of the customers of electricity in California are now being served by public agencies. Of that half, the first half is long-established public utilities, like in Los Angeles and Sacramento. But the other half did arise in the last 10 years that you described, with the community choice aggregation community energy agencies. Let's talk some about the great advantages. It's clean power. You discussed some of them. It's also, it creates jobs for working people. People can put up solar panels, local sources of energy installations, small scale, some larger scale, few almost utility scale, it's called, fairly large plantations. But doing that is something that anybody who has ever, any construction firm that's ever built a kitchen or a home or even a bathroom, the skills of that can be translated very easily into building a complete local community energy sources. Al, tell us, I think that there's another enormous advantage of community energy. It doesn't need those big grids that PGE, for example, ran through all the forests and drylands of California, carrying enormous wattage of energy, losing a lot of electrons on the way, of course. It's fairly wasteful, those big grids. Community energy, it's confederated with other communities, adjacent communities, can be extremely reliable and with storage, of course, but without needing anything but modernization of the current grids. Now, let's talk about another, it seems to me, another great and so important aspect of community energy is it can be run very democratically with an enormous amount of public involvement, with neighborhoods in some ways deciding their fates and how the community energy is going to be built and installed and where. Tell us about these sort of democratic aspects. These are the possibilities.
Well, you covered a lot of territory there, Bill, but the essential point that you made is that there's a technological aspect of energy, and then there's a political economic aspect of energy. And it's important to always be talking about both of them at the same time. So what's clear is that the technology for decentralized energy is available. It's renewable energy resources, as I mentioned before, and it can be distributed. It's a distributed energy model, meaning that those resources are available and can be developed everywhere. They don't depend upon you know, big central nuclear power plants, you know, thousands of miles or hundreds of miles away from the users, or the same for coal or gas-fired power plants, or even for wind farms or solar plantations. There's no reason to have these things remote from the community when they can be developed in the community themselves. So technologically, this is a superior form of organization because it allows the energy development to be much more in harmony with people's needs, with the kinds of resources that exist locally, and so forth. So the idea is that the distributed energy model and that technology already exists. But who's going to control it? Who is going to make the decisions about what energy is used and under what conditions and where it's developed and what type? And clearly that should be in the hands of the communities that need that energy and can decide on those resources. So this has been the great movement of the last 4 or 5 years across the country, but in California, to have much more democratic control of this decision-making. So the question really is whether these municipal utilities that you mentioned, which now control 25% or so of California's energy to customers, and then now community choice agencies, which have at least half of what the utilities used to have in the way of a customer base. The question is whether these institutions are institutions that really do provide public decision-making and control. And I think we're facing basically two difficulties in that respect. The first is that in terms of the municipal utilities, most of them were built and function under the centralized energy model. Even though they're local utilities, their energy resources are developed remotely. They buy energy off the grid the same way as anybody else, and they mostly move just like the monopoly utilities themselves. LADWP was in Los Angeles was a municipal utility that was the last one to get rid of coal-fired electricity, for example. Not really that progressive. There's about 30 or 40 of these municipal utilities in California, mostly quite small. Do they really represent democratic structures? And then the same question with respect to community choice energy programs and agencies. Do they really represent the needs and local decision-making? And there's two pressures here that we have to contend with at the community level. The first is that the community choice agencies are under tremendous assault from the energy establishment in California, from the monopoly utilities, California Public Utilities Commission, to continue to maintain their dominance. And they continue to try to kill community choice, even though a state ballot proposition failed in 2010 and a legislative effort failed in 2014. Now the main battlefront is at the California Public Utilities Commission, where all the policies and being formulated are essentially in favor of the monopoly utilities still, and in a way that they really bring into question the survival of community choice energy programs. So that's, you know, that's one challenge. And the other challenge is that these agencies that get set up tend to use a lot of technologists who come from the centralized energy model and who haven't really incorporated the notion of real decentralized energy and the fact that the community should be really in control. And so both of these are been problematic.
This is Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole, talking to Al Weinrub, who wrote the short book, Community Power, Decentralized Renewable Energy in California. We discussed that for humanity to survive global warming, we need to replace expensive, wasteful, centralized systems that deliver profits to the biggest corporations and their financiers and are committed to exponential growth on this finite planet. It doesn't work. We have to replace them with community systems generating clean, renewable energy for a productive system in harmony with nature and its ecosystems. Next week, we'll discuss that while California has led the world in creating community systems, its public agencies that serve over half of California's electricity customers, they're facing severe problems, some instigated by their corporate enemies, some self-inflicted. Al discusses means that Californians, supported by folks around the country, and surmount those barriers. So tune in next Monday at 9 for the Old Mole on KBOO.